Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Cofield and Company, 5 o'clock hour. Mateo with the setup in Cabana 7. The host, Circa Las Vegas, Stadium Swim. We talked to Jamie Pileggi earlier. We'll have that conversation posted after the show. Jamie, one of the new voices of Circa Sports. He was dynamite, giving Nye and I some good advice on how to play Circa Million, how to play Circa Survivor, how to bet the NFL. Cofield and Company, pretty sure, 99% sure, we're going to have an entry. We're going in. We like to invest money in some of these contests, so we're going to be in Circa Million. We just have to figure out how we're going to make the picks. Nye Zaragoza is here. Much to get into. A little more Olympics wrap, and then we'll talk a little NBA in the middle of the hour. We got to get back to the Raiders as well. And we do have more UNLV tickets that we're going to be giving away. A pair of tickets coming up before 5:20 for the home opener against Utah Tech. So, you know, I always like to pimp good things around Las Vegas. And now, you know, from I talked about my trip to the Bay Area, and everything about San Fran and Oakland isn't wonderful. They've got some issues. But, like some of the best big cities in this country, they have public transit. And I'm a fan of public transit. We don't really have anything here. We've got a bus system. Solid. I think we need light rail. We should have always had a monorail that came down here and went all the way to the airport. Why they built that thing and didn't go to both ends is ridiculous. I think we know there were lobbies that pushed against going to the airport. And now what's going to happen? Now we're boring, literally and figuratively, underground instead of just extending the monorail and making it do what it should do. But whatever. Las Vegas politics are like a lot of places. But San Fran was awesome. The Bay Area was awesome. I told you, I took the BART over to Oakland Coliseum. And then around San Fran proper, I think I rode a bus, trolley. Yeah, that was about it. So like three or four
modes of transportation.
Yes, three or four modes of transportation. The bus system here for sports fans is pretty good. And RTC is now upping its game a little more. So they've got shuttles to Allegiant and T-Mobile for both the Raiders and VGK. UNLV is in the mix as well. There will be a UNLV Game Day Express from the Transit Center at UNLV, so especially for the students. And if you want to park somewhere and then not get crushed because, unfortunately, around the Owl, there's still not enough parking. There's more than there was, but game day parking is expensive for college or the pros. I don't know. I know who is open to riding the bus on the show, and I know who's not. Do you think Salerno's open to riding the bus? That's what I say. I know Mateo's cringing. I think we'll run it by him. Willie has the suits on all the time. He's not going to ride the bus, right? You?
I would if I was going with a big group of people and it's just easier to get there. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't.
So I've done it from, and I live really nowhere near the neighborhood of Red Rock, but that would be the closest spot for me. I've taken the RTC to VGK games. Friggin' joy. It's so good. It's like, I think it's $4 now. It's so great.
That's awesome.
Because you can start.
They drop you right off in front.
They drop you right off at T-Mobile, at the Fortress. And I don't want to say something that'll get me in trouble. No, I think you can. You can have a couple of pops on the bus. You know, get your drink on there.
So it's kind of like a party bus.
Well, it's not like they don't have like coolers like for you. Or you bring a plastic cup on from Red Rock.
Yeah.
And throw a couple of down. And I'm telling you, the ride is fast. Again, I don't think RTC wants to, like, party bus, everybody! Bring your liquor! Let's go! But you can. And then, listen, you can't, you know, if you want to walk over to New York, New York, or, you know, whatever resort and stay for 4 hours after, like, there's no bus, okay? You got to find your way back. Which is, you could also do that. But, within reason, you hang out a little bit, and then the buses are there, and you get the hell out of there. And for Raiders games, I think it's awesome. And for UNLV games, I think it's a great idea. I don't want to drive and have to park anywhere here.
I don't either. And I used to, back in 2022, when I was going to a decent amount of the games, to the Raider games in specifically, I would take an Uber. And I don't even live that far from the stadium, maybe 15 minutes, but you're paying at least $30 to $40 because it's just a good, a high traffic time. And they drop you off on the side of, I think that is, what's the street that's on the side of Allegiant Stadium?
I always get it wrong. Not the Haas. You're talking about, I always say Procyon or Polaris.
Yeah, somewhere near there. You just get dropped off on the side and you got to walk up there. So I would much rather take the bus.
All right. When did you start working? What age?
18.
Okay. You had a car by then?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a Grand Am Pontiac.
You did?
It was all red. And I had to roll the window up with my two hands because it wouldn't roll up.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when you're younger, I'll say this. To have access to a car is still pretty cool because there's a lot of people. I never want to sound spoiled. You know, I was able to buy like a 1976 Chevette for my older brother for, I don't know what it was, $600, right? So I had
nice.
A car. So I had a car, and I had a lot of junkers along the way. Some people don't even have cars. But when I first started working, I didn't have a car. I took the bus. I took the bus probably, I don't know, it's like a 20-minute ride to go to the local mall and work at the stationery store or the bakery or the cookie shop that I worked at. So I had no problem with it. So I don't know why people are, they stick their nose up at
public transportation. I don't think people know how to take the bus right now. They don't know.
It's probably a little scary for
them. Where to find the map for it, the times that they come, the times that they drop off. A lot of people are lost. Yes, okay, yes,
here's,
phones.
No, but I don't think people realize, here's the great thing. Everything's on an app now. So there, you really don't, you don't have to put, I hate sounding like this, but whatever. In the past, you'd be slipping, coins or, dollars in. Like, you can all do it on an app. You can get the times on an app. San Francisco was amazing. Like, there was an app, like, hey, this bus is scheduled for 2:39 arrival. It's 2 minutes late. And they track it, so, 2:41, it got there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. No one has an excuse nowadays, okay? Everybody,
right.
Use an app if you need to take a bus. If I need to get somewhere, okay. This is interesting. When I was younger, I was probably in middle school. My siblings and I, none of us knew how to take the bus. So my mom, we went on a field trip. She walked us outside the front area, the front neighborhood. We tracked the bus. We rode the bus all the way to Meadows Mall. You know what that is if you've been in Vegas forever. And then we went back home. Because it's good for children to know how to ride the bus because you do never know the circumstances. I know we're living in a different world right now. A lot of people are spoiled. People have cars at the age of 16. I wish that was me. That wasn't me. But the bus is still extremely important transportation.
Yes, very much so. So, again, going a little long on this, but highly recommend, especially if you want to go to games and you're like, hey, I don't want to pay for parking. It's outrageous. You don't have to pay for parking. Take RTC. So, big news in the WNBA next year, 2025. The All-Star Game will be in Indiana.
Drum roll.
And that's all because of Diana Taurasi. Can we keep going on with this joke?
All because of Diana.
It's not because of Caitlin Clark. Diana Taurasi and the legend of the game set the footprint for this to happen. But yeah, Indiana's getting the game.
And I know you're loving this because you are pro Caitlin Clark fan. I think everybody knows that by now.
I'm pro both of them. I'm probably more of a fan. Well, here's the first thing. I'm a fan of common sense, right? So if something's helping grow the game, embrace it. Don't be jealous. But I think Angel Reese is maybe not in the terms of the numbers she's bringing in, the total numbers and the ratings. She's not as big as Caitlin Clark, but she's very important. She is. She's a good ambassador of the game. You never know what she's going to say. She might trash talk. She might be super respectful. I really like her, and I think both of them have helped the game a lot. And, yeah, if you have the game in the city of one of the big future stars of the league, I think that's a good move. What I just said, common sense, embrace good things. Don't be jealous. They're embracing Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I do like that part about common sense because that is truly important. I wonder if this situation or this is going to get a lot of backlash, if people are going to give their opinions. People give their opinions about everything, but I think it's awesome. WNBA announced today the AT&T WNBA All-Star 2025 will take place at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indy, home of the Indiana Fever.
Indiana. Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yes. One last update on the Olympics. This has been a topic that's been going on all week. Noah Lyles and his behavior at the end of the Olympics. Now, behavior, I don't even know what that means, because he supposedly tested positive for COVID, was wearing a mask. It seemed to be a very short bout with COVID, because then within a couple of days, he's out partying without a mask on. So did he have it? Did he not have it? Tyreek Hill played off of that, and Tyreek made a comment to Kay Adams at the beginning of the week, not only taking a shot at Lyles and some of the controversy on that whole championship thing, but also talked about, just made a challenge to Noah Lyles.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? Didn't he want to come out and pretend like he's sick? I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to like do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport, come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I would beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I would beat Noah Lyles.
By a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask.
That's my favorite question of all time. Kay not understanding, I think, in the moment what the 100 is. Like, no one's going to beat the other one by a lot.
No. I don't even think Tyreek Hill is going to be. No, that I. Tyreek Hill's extremely fast.
Could
I understand
happen?
You are Cheetah. That is your nickname. But just like you telling Noah Lyles to stay in his lane, which I completely agree. Noah Lyles, stay in your lane. Stop talking about all these other athletes and their positions in their sports and what considers them a world champ and whatever. This entire situation just frustrated me. Noah Lyles is good at track. Tyreek Hill is good at football. Everybody stay in their lane. I don't think that Tyreek Hill can beat Noah Lyles. You can't. You ran in the fastest race, and you win a gold medal. Is there any more that I need to say?
Would you want to watch it?
I would love to watch it. I would. And I do love that Tyreek Hill put Noah Lyles in his place and finally spoke out about it, because it's Noah Lyles. What? Why do you care? Like, Justin Watkins made a great point, okay? Logically, it makes sense. You are not the world champs as far as, like, the nation, but you are the world champs because you are that one percenter that's good at your sport, which is the NBA, in which he was discussing.
Hey, his whole thing is Noah Lyles competes internationally. The NBA finalists are not playing internationally. Now they're playing against rosters with international players. I mean, I guess if to satisfy Noah Lyles, the NBA champ could... I guess we could have, like, FIBA world rankings, and then whoever, Real Madrid, could face off against the NBA champ. I don't know that. If I were an owner of an NBA team, if I'm the owner of the Celtics, I'm like, you're not playing another game or a series against Real Madrid. Now, in the past, David Stern might have been able to say, you are, because I'm David Stern. I don't think Adam Silver would do that. So I don't think that's going to happen. To me, the crossover sport thing is interesting. This isn't exactly what mixed martial arts is, like, you know, MMA guy against a boxer or a wrestler against a karate guy. But a great champ in track and field against someone who thinks they're the fastest person in the NFL intrigues me. I would actually like this to be set up by, say, Netflix.
I would love to watch it. I would still love to watch it.
Wouldn't it be cool?
It would be cool.
And someone's going to eat humble pie. And it might be Tyreek. Like, Tyreek might get an appreciation, like, bruh. And he should already know. He did track and field. Like, dude, you were fast. That's why that guy is, you know, one of the world champs. He's almost half a second better than you. The best 100 time by Tyreek. This is a big gap. It's not going to sound like a big gap, but this is a big gap. Tyreek's best time is 10.19 in the 100. And if I'm correct, Noah Lyles ran a 9.79.
Exactly.
Like, that's...
close.
I'd have to look at the however many they had in that gold medal race if the 10th place or 8th place finisher ran better than a 10.19. I don't think he would have been in the top 10. 10.19 to 9.79 is massive.
Very massive. Close but massive, right? I mean, close because I would never run that. Yeah. But massive in a sense that Noah Lyles, that is his... that's his sport, and he is dominating in it, whether or not we like his attitude or not. I don't like the way that he's been approaching things. Everybody just needs to stay in their own lane, okay? You're good at what you're good at. Let's appreciate people for being good at their sports.
You know, the funny thing is, Tyreek Hill running track and Noah Lyles running track, the further that Noah Lyles runs and Tyreek Hill runs, the slower Tyreek gets. I don't know if that's the way it is normally. Like, I would think a 400-meter guy, like, there's a point at a world level where the 400-meter guy is, as it goes up, you know, in 100-meter increments, that he then starts to blow away. Noah Lyles, but I'm doing a lot of numbers here. I'm sure it's not the most exciting radio topic, but I just want to put in perspective where Tyreek Hill is in terms of personal records. The only area they get really, like, Lyles in the 200 is 19.31. Hill's best 200 is 20.1, so the gap gets bigger.
Yeah.
And then when you go the other way, the best time for Tyreek in the 60 meter is 6.7. The best time for Lyles is 6.4. So we were talking yesterday about the 40, which is like that standard thing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it would probably be the most close in the 40, where Lyles couldn't pull away enough. But maybe Hill could beat him. Maybe that's the challenge.
Let's make this happen, everybody. Let's make this happen.
Why not? Netflix is doing, just to get you an update, Netflix is doing a hot dog challenge with Chestnut and Kobayashi. And I didn't realize, maybe I missed the announcement, it's actually here. It's here on Labor Day at Luxor. So when I saw that yesterday, I'm like, well, we're actually off on Labor Day, but how do I miss the hot dog eating contest between the two legends when I talk about it all the time? Maybe I'd get rejected for a credential. That would be the most deflating thing.
Wait, are you going to actually go? You're going to try to go?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go.
Okay.
It's two of the greatest ever at eating hot dogs. It's a showdown, old against old. Okay. One guy's retiring.
What is the record of these hot dog eaters?
Well, Chestnut holds the record at, I think, like 73 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I think Kobayashi's high is low 60s. But for this one, they're changing it. This is ridiculous, but they're changing it. Normally in the hot dog eating contest, you have a bun and a hot dog. You can take the bun and dunk it and get it all smushy and eat it that way, which is gross, and then just chomp on the hot dogs. This one, they're not letting you dip the bun, which adds a lot more bulk to the eat. So I think the number is going to be a lot lower. So it's the same as Noah Lyles and Tyreek. Same thing. Same level of athleticism.
The same thing.
It's pushing yourself to a superhuman level. But yes, I will try to go. Like I said, if I get rejected for a credential, and maybe they're not having media there, it could be a low point. That could be the end of me. I could just be like, I'm not worthy of being in the media if I don't get a chance to go to the hot dog eating contest. Coming up, we're going to talk OnlyFans. Yeah, Griffin wants to talk about it, so we'll do it.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Zaragoza is here at Cabana 7, Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield. I think I just look like a psycho during the break. As you learn who I am, I'm not very interesting, but I was just playing you a video I got from home, and it was a cat meowing, and you're like, what is going on? So I told people about, 3 weeks ago, we were fostering a couple of kittens who had been abandoned. It was actually their mom ran away in fear. But they just had to get fixed, and they're not happy. So I got a picture of a cat in the carrier flipping out. You know what? If I got fixed earlier today and I was doing a radio show...
I don't think you could do the radio show.
I'd be pretty pissed. That's a good point. You know, I don't know. You know what? I have no idea. I'm going out with some people tonight, some of my friends from out of town, who've been snipped. Like, I don't mean full. Like, I wasn't talking like I become a eunuch in the morning and I'm like, yeah, I'm good to do the radio show. I meant like, you know, maybe getting snipped. I have no idea what the recovery time is. I think I'd be moody. I wouldn't want to do the show that day.
It would suck to not be snipped when you're born, like to have to do.
I don't mean circumcised. I mean like tied up. You're done. You're snipped.
Oh.
Right, Curtis. I don't know where we're going with that, but you're a pretty resilient guy.
Dude, to be a fly on the wall with your guys' conversation right now, which I kind of was, right? I don't even know what to think. But I mean, I knew you. I didn't know you were a kitten guy, but I knew you had a soft spot. I knew you were a big softie.
Oh, we have cats. Yeah, I'm definitely a cat guy. Yeah, we foster kittens every once in a while. And when I say we, I do 1% of the work. Like, I lift the litter, and then the significant other does 99% of the work. So it's all her. It's all her, absolutely. So what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Not fostering any cats right now, so I'll leave that to you guys. But other than that, I'm doing good. I can't complain.
Excellent. Let's wrap on... Well, you know, I want to start with Noah Lyles, because, I don't want to distract you in this portion of the show, but you're getting some strong response on your stay in your lane thing. Curtis, I'm sure you remember Noah Lyles a while back said, you know, the NBA champion saying they're the world champion is ridiculous. I'm a world champion. They're not a world champion. Tyreek Hill came at him and said, you know what, dude? Shut the hell up. Mind your own business. And I'll race you and I'll beat you. What do you think about Noah Lyles?
I mean, I think he's a competitor, and he's obviously the best at what he does in his sport. And I think it's just it's tough to say, man, because I think I agree with the NBA guys. They are if you win the NBA championship, you are world champions. I don't think there's any measure that you are not the best professional basketball team in the world, and I think that can be stacked up against it. And the fact that you've got multiple guys from overseas and foreigners that play in the NBA, that play in the best league of basketball in the world, I think it's fair to say that. Now, obviously, if you want to go take the EuroLeague champ and bring them over, or take the Celtics, for example, and take them over to play the EuroLeague champ, I still think the Celtics would win. Kind of probably get the same outcome that we did have in the Olympics with the United States taking home the gold. But I think he's a guy that's just trying to do everything he can to push forward himself and his sport to get more notoriety and just to get more headlines because, again, it is an individual sport, and it's a sport that typically only shines once every 4 years, unfortunately.
So who would you be taking in the 100, Curtis? Tyreek Hill or Noah Lyles?
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would take Noah Lyles, but the fact that the cheetah, I can't really go against him. I mean, I know it's been a while since he's been out there and ran, but I think if you give him a chance to train, I think you could probably give him a run for his money, but it's hard to go against a guy that does that day in and day out for a profession.
Agreed. Let's keep it on the same page as the Olympics. I'm going to use Steve's question. LeBron MVP for the Olympic tourney, is that right? Or should Steph have been the guy?
I mean, if you're basing it off the entirety, it's got to be LeBron. From start to finish, I think he carried the team and did what LeBron James does. But I think anybody that says that they win that without Steph Curry is a downright fool, because Steph saved the day in what he did, especially in that last game in terms of making those threes in the last 2 minutes. I mean, he damn near single-handedly carried them. And that's what Steph Curry does. I mean, he comes out, makes big shots. And obviously, I think it's a situation where LeBron's game probably translates the best for international basketball because of size, strength, skill set, playmaking ability, as opposed to everybody else on the roster. But Steph Curry, when it's needed, he can step up and make big shots, and he was the guy that did that consistently, especially in those last two games. So if it's for the entirety of the tournament, you definitely got to give it to LeBron. But if you're talking about the MVP of that championship match, that gold medal match, it would without a doubt be Steph Curry.
Do we need to have, and I understand the way this team came together, you got some legends of the game who were kind of in and kind of out. Do we need to have a team set up like 90% of the roster 2 years out from the next Olympics? And I know they play international competitions, but the teams change a little bit. Do we need to have a set team for the most part getting ready for the Olympics at least a year or two out?
I think that's what they kind of try to do, right? I mean, with Grant Hill now being in charge of it, I think they try to get guys to make that commitment. And obviously, when you have the World Cup and they have those guys that come in, and they try to get some continuity and have that pool of guys that they have. I think they've got like a pool of like 20 guys that are committed to participating to some degree, and it's a matter of kind of health, availability. And I know obviously if you play late, like when they had the World Cup, if you play late in the NBA season in the finals, you're probably not going to be in a position to be able to necessarily be at your best, be 100% to step up and play. So it's tough, but I think it's tough because you have such a deep pool of players. As opposed to these other countries, they don't have nearly as much depth. As many guys playing at such a high level that can compete on that international stage. So in a perfect world, it'd be ideal to be able to have your team set or your 15 guys that you know you're going to go into it with. But I think with the NBA, in terms of just the fluidity, health, and the length of season coming and going, also contract years and kind of where guys are coming off of injuries, there's a lot of variables that go into it, but I think they're going to do the best they can. But I think you're going to see a changing of the guard, obviously, with Steph, with LeBron, KD, with some of those guys moving on. And you're going to start to see this younger group, probably led by Devin Booker, who arguably could have been kind of that unsung hero in terms of just sacrificing. But you're going to see a new group of guys coming through that 2028 Olympics in LA.
What do you tell KD in 4 years if he's like, yeah, I want to play? Do you do what the women did, where they're like, that's a Rossi, you know, you control the roster, so you do whatever you want? Or are they going to have a hard, you know, a hard decision or a hard moment where they're like, sorry, Kevin, you can't play?
I mean, I think he's 35 years old. If in 4 years Kevin Durant is still playing in the NBA, Kevin Durant has a spot on the team if he wants it. I mean, the all-time leading scorer in USA men's basketball international competitions at the Olympics with all his gold medals, you definitely give him a spot to play, because if he's still playing in the NBA, he's still a guy that's going to be a mismatch nightmare. And he's a cerebral enough player to be able to play the game the right way. But it's probably LeBron's probably going to be phased out. Steph Curry probably going to be taken over by some of these younger guards. We're talking about Jalen Brunson coming in. But I think KD has definitely earned it. If he wants it, he's going to have that spot. But again, you've got to be able to be healthy and still be playing at a high level. So we'll see once we turn the calendar around a couple times.
I've seen one prediction on the guards in 2028. I don't like this mix. They've got Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell. I don't think Brunson's a true point. You knew he was missing from this list, but who knows what he'll be doing in 4 years, because he's awesome when he plays. Ja Morant.
Yeah, it's a different group, and I always think, and this is always my opinion, my perspective, but also having played FIBA rules and played international for a number of years, you've got to have some shooting. You don't need nearly as much ball-dominant guys from that guard position. You guys need guys that can facilitate. I think if you put Jalen Brunson out there, a guy that needs to have the ball in his hands, not nearly as a spot-up shooter such as Steph Curry, but or even like Tyrese Halliburton, a guy that needs to have the ball in his hands really to be able to be successful and efficient. Was able to knock down shots in the playoffs, kind of catching and shooting, playing off the ball. But you're going to have to add some guys that can be able to spot up, catch, and shoot to be able to spread that floor, stretch that floor, to allow Anthony Edwards the space to be able to attack off the dribble, to allow Jason Tatum, who will be on that team, who probably will be the star of that team in 2028, to have that space to be able to operate, to be able to attack. You've got to have those kind of guys to be able to space the floor. If you get too many of the same type of players on a team that's in an international basketball, it's going to be easy to defend just like in any other level of a sport. And so I think they're going to have to be creative to make sure they're kind of piecing it together. And you're probably going to see some of the different types of players and personalities, because it's not going to be what we've seen the last couple of years with these super megastars, with LeBron, with KD, with Steph Curry. They're going to have to change the guard a little bit, but you're going to have to get a little bit more spot-up shooting to be able to let some of those guys operate, mostly Jason Tatum and Edwards at the same time.
CT, Curtis Terry, the former Rebel, is on with us, going through what could be the 2028 roster for Team USA. Wings on the list I have listed, you just mentioned Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I don't like these two choices, and I'll make a bold prediction. Probably not that bold, but Brandon Miller is included, and so is Cooper Flagg. I will guarantee you that from this class or next, there will be multiple players who are better internationally in the NBA. Multiple players that are better than Cooper Flagg. He will not be on Team USA in 2028.
Ooh, I don't know. I think Cooper Flagg might be there. I just think his skill set, and he's so young right now, and what he did, especially with the select team, kind of in those scrimmages in Vegas and being able to stack up against those guys, there's no fear in that kid having a year of college, then having, 3 years in the NBA by the time you get there. I think he will be on that team. But I think, and also they've been mentioned of this, and I think the guy that's probably going to be the star along with Tatum and Anthony Edwards is going to be Paolo Banchero. A guy from the Seattle area who went to Duke, obviously was number one pick, had a strong playoff run his first time through the playoffs. He's going to be a guy here. He's going to be contending for the MVP in the league, I think, for the next 4 to 5 years consistently. I had a chance to see him at a pro-am here a couple weeks ago, and just his frame, his size, his skill set. He's LeBron 2.0, probably a little bit bigger, not nearly as athletic and bouncy as LeBron was when he was younger. But a guy that's got the skill set and probably will be kind of the centerpiece and the focal point of that 2028 team. But I think Paolo Banchero, I think Cooper Flagg will be there, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson. But you're gonna have a lot more younger guys, a lot more youth, and I think that's just going to serve them well because they'll be able to run teams out of the gym.
I think Paolo should play for Team Italy. We were talking about guys playing internationally instead, like, you know, the decision that Embiid made, but in reverse. A lot of it was based on payouts. Now, NBA players make so much money, they're not going to quibble over getting a $40,000 gold medal payout from the U.S. and, you know, possible $150,000 from Italy. Italy's not going to win the gold. I'll throw out a couple of names for 4 years from now who are in the same class as Flagg. One is another 6'9", 6'10 wing in Ace Bailey, and the other is Ron Harper's kid, Dylan Harper. By the way, Curtis, before we head for Phoenix for a Thanksgiving tournament with UNLV, both Harper, if he's healthy, and Bailey will be playing in Vegas, so you can see him up close at the NIL tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent. And I think the thing that you're going to get to is I think it's a matter of kind of who's stacked in those positions. Like you mentioned, like we talked about Paolo Banchero kind of at that 4-5 spot, or even 3-4, or you can put him at the 2. But Cooper Flagg is going to be a guy that you can put at kind of that 3-4. With Tatum, but I think there's going to be a lot of guards already in the mix, and so I think that's where some of these younger guys probably going to get snubbed out with some of those guys that are already in the mix with Anthony Edwards. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton is going to probably be given a fair shot to make that team, just having been there before. And like he said, when you don't do nothing on the class project and you still get an A, he's probably going to be salivating to be able to get his chance to be able to make his impact here in the next Olympics. But there's a lot of young talent coming up, and so I think that the U.S. is probably going to be able to go on a run, the men's team, go on a run like the women have in terms of winning 8 straight golds, and I think they won, 62 straight games or something like that. I think that the men obviously are going to have more closer games and might drop a couple here and there like they did in the World Cup a couple years ago. But I think nonetheless, there's a lot of talent here for the men's basketball team. But you also got to shout out the women, and what they did in the court is remarkable. And I think they're just getting stronger. And that, for me, it got me more excited for the second half of this WNBA season because I think those girls got hungry, even though they got close in bonding. They're going to be at each other's next year the rest of the way.
Speaking of WNBA season, I want to touch on that. We got Liberty at Aces. You know, Aces is a big deal here in Las Vegas. Do you think that there's going to be a post-Olympic slump?
No, not at all. I think you may see some of those Olympians and those gold medal winners maybe come out and need to catch their second wind. But I think for everybody else in the league that did not participate in international competition is going to come out fresh. It's almost probably a good thing for them to be able to get that month-long break. They're going to be able to come back fresh and recharge and have had some time off but have fresh legs. And I think we're going to get an even better finish to the WNBA second half of the season than we did last year when we had the Liberty and the Aces go down to the wire for the championship. But it's going to be a heck of a battle, and I'm excited to see how it plays out because I think there's a lot more parity in the league this year than there was the last 2 years, especially last year when the Aces kind of put the pedal to the metal and kind of turned it on during the regular season until they saw the Liberty in the finals.
And we'll repeat it again. Keep in mind, the Liberty come to town, well, they had two of their best players too, so maybe there'll be some stamina issues there, but we'll see. We'll see what the Aces do down the stretch. They come right out of the gates with 3 good games. They got to win, I think, 2 out of 3 or all 3. They don't have to do anything. They're going to make the playoffs, but I do have a bet on the Aces win total. Willie said they're going to finish 28-12 over 40 games. I said they'll be below 28 wins. They're 16-8 right now, so I think a win over Liberty would help a long way in them posting potentially 28, 29, or 30 wins. So I got to wrap the Olympics with a question. On this front, I'm going to put you on the spot here in a second. We all were talking about our favorite Olympic athletes last week, right? So Gabby Thomas was the favorite of one of our guests, Xavier Pope. A lot of people named Sydney McLaughlin. I went with a 5'7", 170-pound woman who wrestled amid allure. Greg Salerno, Griffin remembers this. Greg Salerno really loved the French pole vaulter, the male French pole vaulter, whose wiener knocked the bar off in the pole vault. He was totally smitten, couldn't stop talking about him. Curtis, did you have an athlete that maybe you didn't know where you're like, man, I really like this person? And it can be a male, Salerno, or it can be a female. Who you ever want to go with?
You know, that's an interesting one. You know, no, nobody stands out here at just off the top of my head. If this Olympics this time around, I don't think I watched as much variety in terms of different events. I watched a lot of the prime time stuff that came on early here in the morning on the West Coast, and obviously kind of watched some of that recap of the replays in the evening. But I think the person I got to give credit to is Andrade from Brazil for the gymnastics. I mean, the fact that she continues to come back, had multiple injuries, and was able to go out there and get that gold medal against Simone Biles, who's obviously the GOAT in women's gymnastics, just gymnastics in general, to show that perseverance for her to be able to continue to come back and all the times that she lost or took second, but to be able to finally break through, that just kind of shows what the Olympics is about. It's about that resiliency, just that dedication, and just not giving up and putting forth that fight. So for me, that was kind of cool to be able to see her do that, but then also at the same time, to see second place, the silver and the bronze winners both give her respect and kind of bow down to her and give her flowers. I think that was a pretty cool moment.
Now, your favorite was Ray Gun?
Oh. Look at you. Steve just likes to stir up the drama. I love Sydney McLaughlin. Yeah. I do. She's a woman of her faith. She is a woman of perseverance and resilience, and I love what she stands for.
So I'll mention this one. Griffin, your favorite was this pole vaulter Canadian Alicia Newman. You want to explain why you loved her so much?
I just simply love a woman who's about her bag and knows how to capitalize. Alicia Newman, went viral at the Summer Olympics in Paris after she became the first Canadian woman to win an Olympic medal in pole vaulting. After she won, she decided to pull the old fake injury, then start twerking celebration. Apparently, Newman's OnlyFans account, which she had before the Olympics, gained 20,000 new subscribers. And with the rate she has her OnlyFans at, that's roughly $150,000 a month.
Curtis, you want to check this out? I think, how big is the account you have, Griffin, with OnlyFans? Does it cover, like, is it a coverall?
You talk about my personal one where my content goes out, or the ones I subscribe to?
All the accounts you sign up, you love OnlyFans.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. And it's my content I put out. I don't absorb any other's content.
Oh, don't get all defensive, right, Curtis? Don't get defensive. You like what you like.
I don't know. But heck, if we're talking about kind of raking in that kind of dough, I mean, we probably all need to reconsider what we're doing for day jobs and maybe fire up the OnlyFans or the Feet Finders or something. But she, heck, if that's what it takes to get 150,000, I don't know, man. I might have to try to learn a pole vault and fake an injury.
There you go. All right, Curtis, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll see you soon.
You guys have a good one.
From the Uncommentary Podcast, Curtis Terry, CT, former Running Rebel. My idea, because... You know, the one thing I didn't mention earlier about job I would do if I didn't make it in radio, I said chef, truck driver. People who listen to the show also know I had a strong affinity for a while for being a butcher. My parents owned a butcher shop. It failed miserably in like a year and a half. But they always had, they were like, oh, here's a great slicer that we bought, you know. So I bought a slicer like 3 years ago, and I was slicing meat at home during COVID. I'm like, hey, supplies down. I'm like, gonna go buy the big ham myself and do it. So, what do you think, Griffin? Cofield shirtless with a slicer, just slicing meat and cheese. Look at the arm movement. The arm of the slicer.
I think you just came up with the base for what you should be putting out for an OnlyFans account.
Exactly.
You're gonna be make some money.
Or I have a fantasy football draft on Saturday. It might be the name of my team. So.
You gonna have your shirt off there?
I tried
slicing
to
slice meat.
I tried to set up a lot of people there. Kind of worked. Good recovery, Griffin. All right, grab bag on the way back. We're live here at Circa. Ultimate Contest Weekend is coming up. The giant party that is next weekend. There's going to be a Radio Row for 2 days. So if you want to meet the stars of radio locally and especially nationally and internationally, a Radio Row will be filled with all these gambling shows and local shows. Thursday night, if you're in the contest, open bar at Bar Canada. Friday night, there is an open bar and a big party at Stadium Swim. That'll be for people who have a few more entries than the norm. And on Saturday, a great Circa football preview hosted by Mike Palm. That's next week. Ultimate Circa weekend. Ultimate contest weekend is Thursday through Saturday right here at Circa Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Almost 3 hours in the books, and we still didn't get to nearly everything we wanted to talk about today. So we'll go in the grab bag here officially in a second. We got another pair of UNLV football tickets. Home opener, Utah Tech. That's on Saturday the 7th, noon start. That'll be the second game of the season, but it's a home opener. They play at Houston on August 31st, but... Griffin's got a pair of tickets right now. UNLVtickets.com is where you can get your tickets. The game is at Allegiant Stadium. Caller 7, 364-1100. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Well, one of the things we do generally Wednesday and Thursday is lengthy recaps of Hard Knocks, because we all love the show. Nye is into it. I always love to hear about TV experiences and how we're getting TV and how we're consuming it. You sent over a note about cable and non-cable and access to Hard Knocks. What happened?
So if you had cable, you seen it immediately as it dropped. If you were watching on any apps, YouTube TV, etc., you had to wait, I believe, a couple hours to see it. So people on Twitter were frustrated trying to find, you know, like Bears fans, I'm sure, like
I saw Griffin, that Chicago
you know?
Fans were having trouble finding
yeah.
it, like on the
they
spot,
were having
and not
trouble.
Getting spoilers.
Exactly, and people were getting spoilers because we had to watch it a couple hours after. So cable is still king. Granted, it's expensive, but anyone who is paying for it is going to see everything in prime time.
You really liked DJ Moore, his family at the ice cream shop. It was not really an ice cream shop. It was better than that.
It was a museum. I love that this Hard Knocks is doing a really good job at showcasing the human element of these athletes, their families, the things that they're experiencing, the things that they're accomplishing or reaching towards. Hard Knocks, I'm not a Bears fan at all, but I'm very impressed with this Hard Knocks, and it's only episode 2.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Round table. Kiss Kiss, Chris Brown, T-Pain, Roma Dunze. I'll give it a B.
Because it
was better than Caleb Williams.
It was.
He brought up his own speakers. I don't know what that was. He's like, yeah, what we have here is not good enough. And he got the Bears room super hyped up.
Hyped. I give it an A+. You sung Chris Brown, for one. Two, I think he did a great job at trying to memorize all of the words, and he was a good performer.
Griffin?
Oh, A+, all the way.
Oh, God, you're not objective.
The way the whole team was getting with it, they were with the beat. I was sitting at home in my living room, and I was going back and forth, and I was standing up. That was amazing.
It was a vibe.
A follow-up. More talented, T-Pain or Chris Brown? I say T-Pain. Ooh, there's hesitation. Or are you just being nice?
That's a tough question.
Really? Oh, I thought you were going to rip my head off.
No.
I love T-Pain. I think he's
love
awesome.
T-Pain,
he's
too.
A great guy, too. Every time I've seen him, you know, away from music, he's like the most down-to-earth dude ever. He can actually sing. He didn't need auto-tune.
He's very good,
Auto-tune took him to a level, and I'm
going to have to take Chris Brown.
Most people would.
Doing more right now to this day. I don't really know what T-Pain's doing.
Griffin?
That's outrageous.
I know.
I'm sorry. That is outrageous. How do you pick anybody? How do you pick Chris Brown over T-Pain?
I know.
The auto-tune, he was a hit with it. And then we see the video on social media with no auto-tune. Man, sounds even better.
Yep.
Talent.
Awesome.
The ladies love Chris Brown, Griffin. Okay? You wouldn't know anything about that.
T-Pain's got a dad bod. The guys love him. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
That Ian Wheeler story, one of the running backs trying to make the roster, is freaking
incredible.
Awesome. I love that.
Oh, my goodness. Ian Wheeler being accepted to Harvard Medical School, but he is deciding to pursue his football career, his football dream that he's been wanting to do since he was a child. But I think they did a really good job in featuring him. Man, Harvard Medical School? You are smart. You have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, but you're deciding to go with something that you've had a passion for forever. So I think that's awesome.
Last time on Hard Knocks in the grab bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I think this one is a really smart move. I'd never seen them do this before. That said, I hate that you have to do it. When I saw Caleb Williams sitting down with someone and being introduced to, not face-to-face, but who the official is running the game, I was like, this is outrageous that you have to do this. But it's probably a smart move.
That was outrageous because as an outsider, actually understanding it, you really should know who the officials are, right? Williams clearly understood the importance of scouting their tendencies and building relationships with them. That right there is crucial to a player's success in the league because at the end of the day, the refs make or break a game half the time.
Griffin, when you played, did you have someone on defense or do you know someone on offense who went over? And I'll put it more bluntly, their responsibility was to go kiss the ass of the official to make him feel good so that he treats you fairly, which, again, is so stupid. But
we had a team. I was part of teams where our head coach or one of the position coaches would be addressing the officials, making sure, you know, get the game and the day started off right with them. When it comes to players, I don't think, especially because I never played in the professional realm, at the high school and collegiate level, you don't. I think it was hard for us to think that far ahead. We were so focused on the game itself. So, but I loved seeing that in that episode of Hard Knocks. I thought that just showed that my team is covering all bases to make sure this kid, Caleb Williams, is as successful as possible.
That's very smart of you to say that. That was very glass overflowing. Nice job.
I want to know what impressed Griffin. Griffin, 30 seconds. What impressed you the most as a Chicago Bears fan?
Boy, we got receivers.
Don't get all worked up.
I'm sorry. Jesus. How can I not? We got defense. So we got one of the best young GMs in the league. What there is bright and shiny in Chicago.
Well, and you got the Vikings now further debilitated. So not that you root for J.J. McCarthy, the future hope of the Vikings to go down, but that's only going to help you guys because I think most of the people on the show feel like Sam Darnold is going to flame out hard, and they'll be looking around going, okay. We have Jefferson, we might have Jordan Addison, we got Hawkinson, we got those weapons, and no one to get them the ball. So in the long run, that'll probably help. the Chicago Bears and everyone else in the NFC North. Nye, good job.
Thank you.
Tao, great job. Reminder, we have a show tomorrow, but next week, Marquee Pool Show. Cosmopolitan, that's a Monday show. Steve Sears Summer Tour. Come on out.